Good morning, everybody. A very warm welcome to you all. Nice to see you. A lot of people are away on holiday, and that's why there are lots of gaps, but we'll be praying for them later that they'll have an enjoyable time. But let's join together in prayer right at the beginning of our service. Lord, our loving and heavenly Father, we thank you that we're able to gather here in your house to worship you and to praise you and to hear more of your wonderful word. Lord, bless our service, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We thought we'd have a change of scenery this morning, so I've come down a level. I prefer it rather than being perched up on the top there and being so remote from everybody. And it's nice, you know, if you feel I'm too close, then tell me to go away and I'll go away, because I can walk anywhere and you'll still hear me. But for the moment, I'll stay here. Our opening hymn this morning is All Over the World. It reminds us that, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ is not just local in Leyndon here, but it's all over the world, everywhere. And we often think of our friends in India, in the church in India, Mary's Brothers Church, which, you know, means so much to us. And, you know, they're just another part, just a small part of God's church all over the world. So let's join together in singing All Over the World, the Spirit is Moving.
Amen.
Over there.
Stop to think about that. All over this world, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord, just as the waters cover the sea. Now, look around you, not just at the people here or this building, but at the wonderful world that we're surrounded by. I was on my way in this morning, I was looking at the bushes around the car park. Those are bushes that were planted some years ago now, but some of them got flowers on. There was one bush out there that had hundreds, literally hundreds, of flies and wasps. And I looked at the next bush along, and it was covered in bees. The bees didn't come onto the other bush, and I'm wondering why. The bees didn't come onto the other bush, even though there were flowers on it. And the wasps didn't go on to the other one. I wondered why. I don't know. But it's part of that wonderful revelation that God has given to us, the things that we can observe, the things that we can see. Now, you know me, most of you know me. I usually come with a visual aid. Today is no exception. It's one you've seen before. You see, I'm having to do quite a lot of housework at the moment. And so I've got quite used to this thing. Yeah? I've got quite used to this. You know, my little Dyson. And I just started looking at it and I thought, well, people have designed this for a particular purpose, you know? So it's battery operated. You know, it's got booster speed as well. But as you look at its design, you know, this end of the machine, that end down there, you know, it's designed for a particular purpose, isn't it? And when you look at how all the pipes connect and all the joints here, you know, who designed that? Mr. Dyson, maybe Mr. Dyson, but certainly some of Mr. Dyson's workmen. I'll leave that there. But you've all seen one of those before. Have you ever stopped and looked at it and how it's made to do a particular job? And whenever I see my Dyson now, I always think of a particular psalm. And you'll know what psalm is coming, 139. Psalm 139 says this. The psalmist realized this years and years ago. You know, Psalm 139, verse 13 to 16. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. And your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God's in charge. And just as that Dyson is made for a particular purpose and has got very special joints, so have we. Different types of joints, you know, your wrist, your elbow, your shoulder, all the vertebrae, they're all joined together with different types of joints. They work effectively. God designed it. And next time you look at your Hoover, you know, next time you look at your Hoover, John, oh, no, you don't often, do you? I'm sure you do.
I empty it.
You empty it? Oh, well done. Good. Good. You know, next time you look at your Hoover, stop and think. What does this tell me? It tells me that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God made me. God made you. Sometimes things go wrong. We can pray about those. But most of the time, things work remarkably well. And we don't even think about it, do we? We take it all for granted. So stop and think. And then you'll stop and you'll think about God's love for you. Because we're going to sing God's love is like a circle. I was hoping there would be one or two children here. And there's just Chloe. Now, the wonderful thing about a circle, where does it start and where does it finish? It just goes on and on and on. This circle is getting bigger. So it's a big circle, all right? God's love
is like that. It goes on and on and on. So let's sing God's love is like a circle. If you don't know the words, you'll know the music. And I think the words will be up on the screen anyway.
Lord, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. I am not ashamed, no. I am not dismayed, not me, because I'm living in faith and victory. I walk in faith and victory, for the Lord your God is with you. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. I am not afraid, oh no. I am not dismayed, not me, because I'm walking in faith and victory. Come on and walk in faith and victory, for the Lord your God is with you.
Right, God's love is with us. And we can walk in faith and victory. I want to change the subject slightly now. And I want to thank all church members for the way in which they've kept the church going through the period of the pandemic. You see, some churches have really struggled because as soon as they don't meet in the church, their income almost disappears. And yet the people here in this church have kept the church going. And as the treasurer, I know only too well that you've kept it going through your contributions directly to the bank or indeed through the box that sits on the chair there. So just to let you know, it is appreciated. And the church funds are in actually a good condition at the present time, and we're getting some work done. We're going to get work done on the windows in the lobby, which have been leaking for some time. We've got to have a new boiler at the manse, which is being fitted on Wednesday of this week, because the old boiler was not fitted properly and didn't have the necessary filters in, and as a result is clogged up and is now almost unserviceable and making all sorts of funny noises because it's pumping too hard, simply because it's not getting the water supply through. So there'll be a new boiler there, and we're also having the kitchen floor done. We haven't got a date on that yet, but that will be sorted ere very long. But just to let you know that the contributions of our members, many of them gift aided. If you don't know what that means,
I can explain it very simply. The government actually gives us an additional 25% in lieu of income tax that members have paid, and the government pays that income tax back to the charity, namely the church. And we claim that on an annual basis. So, you know, thanks to all our members. And a reminder that the box is there for any contributions you might like to make if you're not a regular contributor via the bank. Now we're going to sing another song together. Be still for the presence of the Lord. And this will lead us into our time of communion together.
The Lord, the Holy One, is here. We stand on holy ground. Be still for the presence of the Lord. The Holy One is here. Be still for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. He burns with holy fire, with splendor he is crowned. How awesome is the sight, our radiant King of light. Be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. He comes to cleanse and heal, to minister his grace. No work too hard for him. Is be still, for the power of the Lord is moving.
I have my minders looking after me this morning. You know, this celebration reflects the Lord's Supper. And so if you can unwrap the plate that you've got in front of you, you'll find pieces of bread there. We'll come to that in a moment. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. These are the words of Paul to the church in Corinth. They weren't doing things quite right, and so he set out for them the way in which they should observe this celebration. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's pray together. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the emblems that we see before us, the bread and the wine, reminding us of the way in which you were cruelly nailed to a cross. Your body was broken. Your blood was shed that we might be free, that through the resurrection we might receive eternal life. Lord, we praise you and we thank you. As we take this bread now, we pray that you will bless it to us. As we take the wine, you will grant us your peace in our hearts, that we will know for sure that you are our Saviour. Amen. So Jesus took the bread and broke it, saying, "This is my body broken for you." Please take the bread and eat. And then they took the wine, and Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." So let's drink together. And we can praise God that through these simple emblems, we've been reminded of one of the great truths of our faith, that Jesus died for us. And now we're going to have the prayer box up. So let's join together and pray for all these people. For all these people, Lord, that we've just mentioned, Lord, we thank you for their lives. We ask you that, Lord, you will comfort them where they need comfort. You will strengthen them where they need strength. You will heal them where they need healing. And Lord, you will bless them that they might know your presence with them, that they might know that your arms are around them, surrounding them. Encourage them, we pray. Lord, encourage us as we each live our lives. Lord, sometimes things get us down and we need a pickup. And you can provide that pickup for each one of us. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your goodness to us. And we ask for your continued blessing. In the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. Amen. Now I think we come to the time when Marian is actually going to read to us, and she'll need to get up to the microphone in order to do that. And I'm going to pass the microphone over to another mic. So it goes from mic to mic, and it is mic, if you understand.
Right, today's reading is from Matthew 8, verses 1 to 17. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately, he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done, just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. Amen.
Thank you, Marion. Now, before we have our next hymn, I've been actually asked by Helen, we've got greens, oranges, and red badges on, okay? And I've been asked if we please respect people who have an orange or a red badge and not go too close. If you've got green badge, okay, fine. I'm sure we can hug each other and everything else. It's not a worry. But it's just to respect those who feel a little bit awkward at this time of the COVID. Okay, we're going to sing our next hymn now, When We Walk With the Lord.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a fear, can abide when we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but a toll we can richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed when we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
I can now say good morning all to those on Zoom as well. I don't know how many we've got at the moment, but that'd be great. I'm going to do something a little bit different today. A couple of years ago, I actually did a sermon on this passage, on one of, part of this passage, and it had some effect. And you'll have to forgive me if some of this is repeated, but I've been given this passage to actually preach on this morning, so I'm going to do my best with it. Okay. We're going to be looking, as per the reading, at Matthew 8, verses 1 to 17. There's a little background here, and we could have the first slide up first, please. That's it. The events in this passage took immediately after the Sermon on the Mount. Now, we've heard of that great big long passage right at the beginning of Matthew, where Jesus preaches a very, very long sermon and a lot of commands and things that we should be living by. Well, where did these events take place? Well, there's a place called Capernaum. And it's right on the north of the Sea of Galilee. And I've been fortunate, and Mike's been fortunate, but we've both been there. And to actually imagine it now, I'm afraid, there is a church with a glass floor, and underneath is a synagogue. And round about there's loads of ruins, where the place where Jesus stayed. Could we have the map? Can we see the map? Can you see the map? Right at the very top there, that's Capernaum. Right, just to the north of that, if we can't go up on that, is where Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. And if you stand in Capernaum and look up to that mount, at the top there's a church. And that is where Jesus was supposed to have done the Sermon on the Mount. So at least we know, and I'm very fortunate to be, where these events took place. Jesus, something I didn't realize, Jesus, during most of his ministry, the 3 years, was actually based at Capernaum. Now, I didn't actually know that. I didn't realize that. But if we bring the second map up, we can actually see a load of red lines. Now, all those red lines, each time you can see the Sea of Galilee, it's on there three times. Jesus actually goes from there and heads different places, apart from right at the last few days where he heads for Jerusalem and finishes up there. But he goes all over the place from Capernaum. And he actually stayed with Peter. Why was Jesus in Capernaum? Well, he started off in Nazareth. And as we know, he left Nazareth where he wasn't very well received. And he traveled all over Israel and returning to Capernaum the whole time. This actually fulfilled a prophecy, which is in Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 2. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Matthew recorded, as Jesus was walking round the Sea of Galilee, he called his first disciples. Peter and his brother Andrew, where Jesus stayed with, James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were fishermen in the Sea of Galilee, which was obviously just south of them. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light had dawned. Isaiah again. Jesus started his ministry there in real power. As we know, people went up the mount, thousands of them went up the mount to hear him preach and actually stayed while he gave the special sermon which he did, the Sermon on the Mount. And as he came down, they all followed him. Now that must have been very difficult, because he actually had no time to himself. He couldn't escape. Used travel far and wide, and people came as far as from Jerusalem, which is in those days was quite a distance away. And the very vast crowds. The population of Capernaum at that time was only 1,500 people. So it was a small town, and all of a sudden descended with several thousand people. Just imagine the people of Capernaum. They couldn't have been too pleased about that, but never mind. We're now going to turn to our Bible reading. Part one, the man with leprosy. When Jesus came down from the mountain, many people followed, wanting Jesus to heal them. The man with leprosy was extremely brave. As he was classed as unclean, was not allowed into the town, but had to stay outside with other lepers. He managed to find his way through the crowd to kneel at Jesus' feet. He must have had tremendous faith. Can you imagine? We hear of what the things that used to happen in those days, that if you were a leper, if you went near anybody, unclean, unclean, go away. And you had to ring a bell as you walked through. You weren't allowed near anybody else. It was the dreaded disease, as they called. But actually, it wasn't passed on as easily as people thought. He kneeled at Jesus' feet and the man was healed. But even though he was healed, he was cleansed, he couldn't return to public life until he went to the priest, what Jesus told him to do, and to make the required sacrifice, which he had to do at the temple. This took place just outside. Now, Jesus then entered Capernaum. A Roman centurion approached him, a man of authority. We've heard this several times, haven't we? But what I didn't realize, that this centurion built the synagogue where Jesus preached in Capernaum. A man of faith, even though he wasn't a Jew, he believed in God. Now, that isn't shown actually in Matthew, but it's actually shown in Luke 7. And that's where is a little bit of a conflict. In Luke 7, it's actually described in more detail. In Matthew, the centurion approaches Jesus. As the centurion had asked some of the Jewish elders to approach Jesus on his behalf, this is from Luke, Jesus agreed to go to his house. On his way, he was approached by the centurion's friends, who explained that the centurion did not feel worthy to have Jesus under his roof, asking Jesus just to say the word, believing that his servant would be healed. Jesus was very impressed with this man's faith, telling those around him that the centurion had more faith than anybody else he had met in Israel. The man's servant was immediately healed. Now in Matthew, we actually hear the centurion came up to Jesus and said he is not worthy that Jesus came to his house. A slight difference. I believe it's probably because Matthew might have seen this event firsthand, being he was one of the early disciples called the tax collector. Whereas Luke wrote it secondhand, didn't he? He was some years later, and he wrote it according to what people had told him. Jesus went on that then to Peter's house. He found Peter's mother ill, which must have been very embarrassing for Peter because they had nobody to actually cook a meal or look after Jesus. And as Jesus was probably staying with them, had nobody to cook, and this was strictly a woman's domain. Man definitely used to never touch the cooking. Jesus went up to her, touched her, and she was immediately healed. And Matthew said, which enabled her to wait on Jesus. Now, the people who had followed Jesus down had obviously lost him. He disappeared. And they actually worked out where he'd gone. And they were brought to Jesus at Peter's house. From Isaiah 53, verse 4, we can see what Jesus was actually fulfilling. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. So what can we learn from this passage? This is where I get a little bit controversial. We pray week after week for those who are sick or need prayer for various circumstances. In many cases, nothing apparently happens. Or does it? Jesus promised us all prayers will be heard and answered by the Father. But there is a proviso. We must have faith. How often do we pray thinking that nothing is going to happen? When we pray for somebody or with somebody or for somebody, do we believe that something is going to happen? That's where the difference is. If we could have that little bit of faith, believing something is going to happen, it happens. It's happened for me. I've been healed of so many times of so many things. And I believe through people's faith in praying for me, I've been healed. I've healed of terminal cancer and various other things. And the Lord's really blessed me. And he's blessing me now with my leg. I've got an iron leg. And he's blessing me through that now because he's healing me now. He's blessing me. And I believe. Please, please, please have faith that Jesus will heal the same as he did 2,000 years ago. I've seen it many times, apart from me, firsthand. The healing power does not come from the person laying on hands, but from God direct, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we think to yourself, well, Who gave this person authority to do it? They used to say that to Jesus, didn't they? They said it to disciples. Who gave you authority to heal or to lay on hands? But anybody can be God's instrument of healing. The Apostle Paul described this very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I do advise you to read that, because I have preached on this before, but I think it's very, very important we read it and listen and act upon it. It's a very important set of instructions for the power of God to be instrumented in the church. And I personally feel that we are lacking in claiming these gifts. Our church is unlikely to grow unless people outside see things happening. So, brothers and sisters, I lay down a challenge to all of us. Are we happy to string along as we are? We're all safe, aren't we? Oh, yeah, it's all nice. Go to the church on a Sunday. Have a little sing-song. Say a few prayers. Listen to the sermon. Fall asleep. Wake up. Go home. Have dinner. Well, do we want to change? Do we want this church to come alive and burst at the seams in God's power? Alive in God's power. Now for today. I'm going to read another passage from the Bible, James 5, 14. If anyone among you is sick, let them call upon the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. A command. Do we do that in this church? Very seldom. The oil's there. If you're not well or you need prayer for something, please see Helen or one of the deacons of the church to pray for you and with you. It's lovely to have it up on that board and say, and pray. And I know God hears it. But if actually firsthand we lay hands upon each other at time of need, I know this has happened. I've been blessed because I've personally laid hands upon people and they've been healed. So do we want people to come through that door? Now, many years ago, actually it was in the 60s, there was a little church in Hainault. It was only a little church, there's half a dozen people in it. And for some reason, they prayed for the incoming of the Holy Spirit. What? Wow. Whack. The Holy Spirit came. Not much. Within weeks, that church was filled and they had services every day of the week, every night of the week. They were on television, everything. You've probably heard of Hainault. Actually, the assistant was at our wedding and actually preached at our wedding. It's brilliant. Things happened. People were healed there. They say it was on television that as they prayed for, people were healed. People were filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's by the laying of hands. All that was wanted in that church and they asked for was the incoming of the Holy Spirit. They asked for it and it came. Paul went into several churches. We read in the Acts of the Apostles. And he asked them, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And the churches answered, no, we've had the baptism of John. So Paul and them all together prayed for the Holy Spirit to come. And it did. Read Acts. You'll see the churches that came alive through the incoming of the Holy Spirit. And then, as soon as the churches come alive, people were healed. People came into the church. Now, again, this is a challenge, isn't it? Do we want to stay safe and a few of us every Sunday? Or do we want this church to be full? And it can be full. One church when we went there, was only 20 people. And when we actually left, when the Lord told us time to leave, it was 150 people. It was because of the incoming of the Holy Spirit. And it was really, truly happened. We were blessed to be there during that time. So that's our challenge today. If you want to be prayed for at any time, you haven't got to do it publicly, come and see somebody to pray for you. As it says, ask the elders of the church to come together, pray for you with the laying of hands and the anointing with oil. And if you do that, actually, in your own hearts, as you're being prayed for, believe that Jesus has touched you. Now, he might not touch you in the exact way you want. Something different might happen. We don't know. We don't know what God's will is for each and every one of us. It's different, isn't it? Okay, I'll leave it there. Let's just join together in prayer. Father in heaven, we just bless you. We bless you for our little church and this little gathering here this morning. Lord, we just pray for the incoming of your Holy Spirit upon this church, on each and every one of us, Lord, please. Let your wind and your fire touch us all. Let us come alive in you. Let us be truly blessed as the churches were in the book of Acts when Paul prayed for them. We pray now earnestly, Lord, for a change in this church, change in our hearts, Lord, for your true blessing to come upon us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our final hymn will be It's a copy of the glory. I've got it down wrong. No, it is right.
Is a victory, no water has won.
Jesus had the victory. We can have the victory. At the end, as just after we have our final prayers, if it's not raining, just for the sake of those that might feel a bit awkward, we'll have a meeting out in the car park. If it is raining, we'll have a meeting in here. You know, for who'd like to speak and join up with each other. Let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Say the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Fingers.